Welcome back. Bass U TV Live from the 50th Bassmaster Classic from the Convention Center in Birmingham, Alabama. And that is the Dean P. Glusick. I am Pat Renwick, and we're pretty excited right now to bring on to the Bass U TV a guy who is, a guy who has done some damage in a couple of tours here. And he's found his home right now in the Bassmaster Elite Series. Let's give it up for Kobe Krieger. It's Kobe Krieger right here, Bass U TV. What's up, Kobe?
Not a lot, man. Just there. This is a huge crowd, I think, for this early in the day at this.
Absolutely. I mean, right away.
Oh, exactly.
It's Birmingham, right? This is where it all
the
started.
The mecca of bassin.
Well, definitely it's all started here in Birmingham or Alabama, that's for sure. And it showed this morning. Heck, I had a hard time getting through the door early.
For real. Yeah. For real.
That's right. The line was forming. We were here 2 or 3 hours early, and the line was forming already. So it's great
it's excitement.
To see. People love this sport. We love it, too. And, you know, it's awesome to watch. I fished with you out on the FLW Tour for quite a few years together.
Beat me up a few times.
Well, I got a few.
Back and forth.
Yeah, I got a few lumps myself. But, you know, you have a sight fishing. I remember, you know, you having a skill set in that arena, at least seemed to me, because I can't catch a sight fish ever. And you guys would always kill me in those tournaments. But you're also, you know, a topwater guy. You love fishing topwater.
I dream about it at night.
We got it bad. We're all bass freaks. There's no doubt.
And I tell you what, 80% of the people watching, 100% will tell you that topwater fishing is their absolute favorite way to fish.
How could it not be?
Well, and it is. The bad thing is it's a great way to fish and a very fun way to fish, but a lot of times you get your butt beat trying to do it.
You're right.
Sure do.
So, but it's fun, and I, you know, like I said, I dream about it, and I try to invent ways to catch fish on top water.
You have to know when you're kicking the dead horse, Kobe. It's like, because we want it so bad, there's that fine line between us wanting to make that topwater strike happen so bad and the reason we better pick up that other bait.
Well, exactly, but the same thing goes along the line when you say about sight fishing. It gets to a point when you're sight fishing for a fish, it becomes personal. You say you're co-angler, you're the guy, you're like, hey,
yes,
I know that this isn't the right thing to do, but I'm catching that fish before I leave this cove. I don't care what else happens.
So, you're mine. You're going down.
That's exactly right.
I know. And then that's what happens to me. As I get, it gets too personal, I wait too long, I spend too much time, and I come to the scales with next to no fish.
And right, it's dinner time.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're sitting in your motel room, and you're like, what an idiot. Why did I do that? That's dumb.
Stubborn.
Yeah,
stubborn.
Exactly.
Hey, but you know what else? You traveled a long time with CP, Craig Powers.
That's right.
And how's Craig doing?
Craig's doing good. I talk to him a couple times a month, you know, and I watch his results. He's fishing local tournaments, and he wins every now and then, and he wins a lot of Wednesday nighters, Tuesday nighters, and I call and congratulate him and stuff. But my topwater fishing actually basically started because of Craig Powell.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Tell us that story.
Dude, it's actually a great story. We're fishing. The first time I met Craig Powers, I was fishing a tournament on Lake Martin in Alexander City, Alabama, and it came a rainstorm, a snowstorm. It was bad. And I heard he was sleeping in a tent. I didn't even know the guy. Didn't know him. I drove to the campground, and I told him, I said, dude, you're getting in my truck. And he had his girlfriend with him. I said, and you're bringing you and your girlfriend, and you're coming to stay at the house where I'm staying at. And he wouldn't do it. Because, I mean, I had a big old house that was rented. It was just me and another guy who had plenty of room. And I told him, I said, if you don't get in my truck, I'm punching you in the face.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what I told him.
Great.
I mean, it's a true story.
That's outstanding.
And he got in my truck, and I took him to the thing. He says, leave all your stuff. We'll come get it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He went to the house. He spent the night in the house. And then the very next week, we went to Kentucky Lake, and that was the first ever start tournament I ever won in my life. And we've roomed together ever since. When he was fishing.
So that's pretty cool, dude.
It was. I mean, it was a great thing. And actually, when he quit fishing, I mean, it's like I lost my girlfriend. I mean, I was like in la-la land for a whole year because, dude, we roomed together. We shared fishing information together. I mean, if you saw me, you saw Craig. If you saw Craig, you saw me. And then, you know, he ended up quitting fishing or traveling around the world fishing. So I'm like, I was in la-la land for a while.
Yep.
I miss the guy.
So the moral of the story is if you want a best friend, threaten to punch him in the
face.
That's
it, right there. You get whatever you want.
He wasn't going to get in the truck, and I don't know why, so that was the only thing I knew that maybe he did.
Here's the thing, though, you got to realize. He knew that you could kick his ass right then.
I was a lot better shape back then, so maybe he was a little bit afraid of me. I don't know.
Well, you know, CP, I remember fishing against him, and he's a super talented angler. By the way, this is the trivia question. CP is actually the man behind Pete's quiet killer flat side crankbait. Mm-hmm. He carved quite a few of those. So that's a Craig Powers crankbait. He's an amazing
very talented individual for sure.
Yep. And I remember an FLW tournament I was leading fishing for post spawn fish, and CP using that big Pop R in the willow bushes.
The 70 to P70.
He took the win doing with that technique.
Where was that at?
Kerr Reservoir.
There you go.
Yep.
You know, and that was the week or 2 weeks after I won the Everstart tournament at Kentucky Lake.
That's right.
On the same exact lure.
That's right.
No kidding.
Exactly. And he had, because we were together, and I wasn't fishing that tournament. And he was, and he called me and said, hey, man, they're on the Pop R pretty good. You need to get up here. So I came up there, and there, the section of the lake that he ended up fishing, I wasn't going to fish because that's where he was at. And it was – and his casting was a lot better than mine because there's a lot more goes to fishing that big Rebel Pop R, the P70, than just fishing it. You got to be able to cast. And he's the best caster that I've ever seen in my life, and he taught me a lot about it, and I was able to hone my skills. No, nowhere near like him, but that's the key about throwing that the P70 Pop R is the casting.
Yeah, he's got a reputation for it.
Absolutely, he's Mr. Accuracy.
Super
what's
talented.
The trick? Like what? So what's the trick of casting a P70?
Well, when we were at Kentucky Lake, and when I learned the deal about the P70, you know, I was in the front of the boat, and I asked him. I said, "How did you learn how to cast like this?" You know, because most of the time we just go fishing and we're just out there dinking around and having fun. He goes, well, I was fishing with my dad, and he made me stand on the front deck with him, and he was always stood behind his dad. So most of us always cast sidearm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, he's a roll cat. He's a roll caster, a reverse roll caster with his wrist, and he did that because he always stood behind his dad on the front deck when he was a little kid, and that's how he honed his skill from – having to stand behind his dad on the front deck instead of running the trolling motor and casting sidearm.
So it was more like this instead of like that.
That's exactly correct. He throws like this all the time when these pop are, and it goes in there and it goes shoop and it goes.
We call that the old Jimmy Houston too at Bass University.
But that's what he does. He goes like that because, I mean, and we fished a few team tournaments together, and I'd stand on the very tip of the boat by the trolling motor on that little bitty 12 by 12 section, and I'd throw this way. And he'd stand behind me, and he'd throw like that. And I would fish the outside of the bushes, and he would get back in the bushes. That's just the way we did it. And the first time he taught me when we did it at Kentucky Lake, I'm like, dude, you don't have to be that close to the bush for a fish to bite. I want to get the aggressive ones. That way they're not going to miss it. And the first day I caught several more fish than what he did, so he was a little bit perturbed about that. But the thing of it is, there is a very much of a technique and stuff to doing what he does, and once you fish in the boat with him or with me, you'll understand the deal with what the deal is with the P7.
Interesting. Right. Hey, that's can you please explain to the listeners and the viewers that may not know exactly what this Rebel P70 is that we're talking about?
Well, it's the reason why they call it a P70 because the number on the box is 70, whatever color it is. It'd be a 01 or 02 or 04, but so it got the reputation of being a P70. It's a big Pop R. It's about 3.5 inches long. And back in the day, it was made out of a certain type of plastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the kind of plastic it was, and it had one lead BB in the back of it, so it made a clicking sound. Not a rattling sound, just sort of a clicking sound, but it was heavy enough so you could short cast it and cast it accurately where a lot of people would fit, you know, flip a jig or flip a brush hog or whatever it be in a bush. We would throw the Pop R around.
It's kind of like the original frog almost. Yeah.
Exactly, and that was the thing. So And the thing about a frog, though, they got to really come up and attack it and eat it.
Right.
That popar, they can just come up and slurp, and you got a trouble hook in its lip. So he's on. So it's one of those techniques where there's other things you could fish, but once you learn how to cast that popar, you got a whole lot better chance of catching them, in my opinion, than you do with a frog or some other bait that floats.
Now, you know, the P-70, for those of you that don't know, out of production, but here's something pretty cool that you might not know. Pete, that Storm, now help me with the name of it. Is it the Arashi Popper?
Yep, that's correct.
That is actually modeled,
allegedly
modeled after the P-70. Right. Yep.
Art Defo had played a big role. Yeah, Tennessee guy. Yep. Knows all about the 70 and Craig Powers and all the guys that are doing well with it. But he wanted one, and one of the key things to the P-70 was it stayed in one place.
That's correct.
For a long time, and that's what they did with the Storm bait too, creating a topwater that stays in place. So when you do, for me, it's about 20 casts it takes to get it to the right place.
But then you're no Kobe or CP.
Once I get it there, it allows me to keep it there and for a long period of time. So that's an important part of the bait.
And it is, and a lot of times the way that the topwater bait sits in the water is very key. I mean, it needs to sit nose up, butt down. That way when you move it, it's walking. It's not, you're not really popping it. You're more walking it than you are popping it. So it goes side to side, and it stays in the strike zone a lot longer. Because most of the time those fish that are in those bushes, they're there spawning. Mm-hmm. So the longer you can keep it over their head and in
aggravate
the strike zone,
them.
They get aggravated. You know, because if you pull it out of the strike zone too fast, they're either going to miss it or short strike it, and then you're not going to get them to bite again.
Well, you said something that fascinates me in the green room. Our little green room is the table behind it.
A lot of nice snacks in the green room. That's amazing. Thanks for
the shrimp tray was amazing. Yeah, whoever brought the shrimp, thank you. Thank you.
But you have a topwater tied on no matter the season.
Year round.
Even out here? Like if you were fishing today on Gunnersville?
If I was fishing today on Gunnersville.
Freezing cold out there, by the way.
But the thing is, as long as the water temperature is around 50 degrees, give or take, you can get a bite on a topwater bait. Now, it may not be a walking bait or a popping bait. I may be throwing a long A bomber, which is a waking bait.
Sure.
That was, when the water's cold, that's the number one bait I have tied on is a long A bomber. It's a vintage long A bomber that I spent many, many hours on eBay up at nighttime buying several of them.
Well, I'll bet you did.
Oh, it was a,
and
you know.
That looks
you
like
Scott Suggs.
That's this bait.
Yeah, this here's a long A bomber. This here's a mirrored long A bomber. So it's got a mirror in it. It's not hollow, and it's got, you know, five BBs in it, I think. The long A bomber that I throw is an old vintage long A bomber. It looks more like this Storm jerkbait here. It's going to have a screw in, hook eye in the back.
Yeah.
That's a very important key, and it's going to be solid. This bill here is clear. The good ones have the same plastic that the P-70 is made out of.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a milky white long A.
Yep.
And this here is solid. It's not clear. So, and it's hollow. And it's got two BBs in it. And when you wind it across the top of the water, it makes a very subtle V wake. And, dude, bass can't resist it. And I don't care if you're in Okeechobee, Florida, or if you're in, you know, upstate New York. No matter what time of year, that's a very deadly, deadly bait.
Outstanding. Well, that's one of the baits that you have tied on. Yeah, you're only using baits that people cannot go out and get.
Well,
what's going on, Cole?
Well, that's the thing is, like I said, I've spent hours. Now, this is back in the day when we had internet at the house that was dial up. So I'd be on the eBay at nighttime and go
on the eBay.
I used to do that for Balsa B3s.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, I did the same thing. Yeah. I had I had cartons of them. So, but back in the day, it wasn't very popular, you know, because they always, the auctions ended like at midnight a lot.
Sure.
So I at the time didn't work. So I had a lot of time to sleep during the day, and at nighttime I'd play on eBay. And that's where I bought a lot of these baits from.
I did the same thing. Give me some.
There you go. I mean, I paid a lot of money for baits, you know, and I got in a lot of trouble for my wife for my bill that would come in. But I'd say, honey, I just won 50 grand on that Pop R.
Right.
So if it costs 100 bucks, who cares?
Right, right.
So, but it's a, the thing of it is, and, you know, like you talk about the Storm Arushi, the Pop R that they make, you know, and there's other people that make wake baits now and stuff. But I'm like a vintage guy. I mean, I'm, you know, it's hard to beat the original.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's other stuff that I throw, but the vintage stuff is close to my heart.
You know, it's funny because I the original Wiggle Wart, which is a lot of people collect them and spend $50.
Yep.
And one of my all-time favorite baits is the new one.
Mm-hmm. Is that right,
it's,
Pete?
It's the brand new Wiggle Wart. It's the one that's on the shelves right now everywhere
when
you go.
It's because you wrecked them at Champlain. Right.
I did. I won on Lake Jordan just recently in North Carolina with
but
it.
I think what happens in a lot of those baits, and you talk about that Storm Wiggle Wart, that they came back out with, I don't think it was the first production of those that were the best. I think what happens is some of the fishermen talk to the bait company and say, hey, this is close to the original, but tweak this, tweak that, and then all of a sudden you have a new Wiggle Wart that's just as good as the old Wiggle Wart.
Sure.
Right.
For sure.
Because of the technology.
Exactly. Yep.
And so we've got the Bomber Long A out of production. You're throwing the Rebel
P-70
out of production.
Gone. Right.
What other out of production topwater is
well,
in your arsenal?
That's the two that are out of production that I
wait, you got one that's in production?
I got a couple.
This just in.
Now I throw
Tackle Warehouse, click the link below. This is the only one you can get.
The
Overlords of Valhalla, the Zona Boys.
I throw a Super Spook Junior in a bone silver, which is a saltwater spook, comes with saltwater hooks on it.
Yeah.
But that's the topwater I throw in the summertime when the fish get more active and they're chasing. It's a white, it's a bone silver, is exactly the color of it. It's a Super Spook Junior saltwater model. And, you know, that's the three really go-to baits that I've used for years.
Wow. So you got to walk the dog bait.
You got to walk the dog bait.
You got a popper bait, which is also a walk the dog bait, but
a little
different.
Kind of, sort of. Yep.
And then you've got a wake bait.
And I got a wake bait, you know, and you got to have a prop bait just because this, you know, when you live in Florida and you live around grass, so you got to have a prop bait. You know, I threw a Boy Howdy forever, you know, so it's, you know,
I love this guy.
Boy Howdy. And a lot of people don't know what a Boy Howdy is, but that's, you know, they still make those.
You can still get Boy Howdy.
That's true.
You know, but I, you know, now the whopper proper plague that, you know, everybody's going crazy over, which I threw a Chapo a lot. Now I'm starting to mess around with the old Berkeley Chapo and everything, so that's good. So I'm venturing out, but I'm one of those guys where, I don't know, I guess maybe that's why I haven't done as well lately fishing as I've done in years past. It's hard for me to change because I'm just, you know, I'm so, I don't know, geeked out on the things that I throw. I like to
that
throw
you've won millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, it's hard to change and everything.
Yeah, how can you do that?
I mean, it took me forever to throw a bladed jig, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
well, me too.
Brian Thrift was winning every third tournament. I'm like, I'm not throwing that stupid thing. Well, 3 years later, I decided I probably should start throwing a bladed jig.
I'm guilty of doing that too, for sure.
You know, it's just, you know, I guess we're fishing more hard-headed.
Well, top water. Mm-hmm. Give us guys that are struggling with topwater, maybe don't have confidence in topwater, want to learn. Give them some of your – is there a trick, a technique, a way to work it, something that people don't know about?
Well, when you're working a spook, okay, because I'm not bragging because I don't brag on myself, but I've fished with a lot of people, and they say, you work a spook better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I'm not a whole lot of a – you talked about walking.
Even Charlie Campbell.
I've never seen him throw one.
I fished with Charlie Campbell one time.
Sorry.
But when you say walking the dog with, you know, like a spook or whatever, which that's a big, long, swooping back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't really fish a spook like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, I do mine. I mean, I can, a Super Spook Junior, in a very short distance, I can make go left to right a lot of times.
Like Charlie Campbell?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is. Maybe I drew his skill from him and didn't know it. So I think that has, you know, I've just made so many casts with a P-70 or with a Spook Junior that it's, and I just a lot of times go out and practice with it, not even intending to catch anything, just working on my
messing around.
Well, you know, working on my retrieve and changing the actions, because then when you go to fish, you know, you can do that kind of stuff that you learn, and I think that makes a big difference. A lot of people, they go fishing. They go fishing always to go fishing to catch something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times you need to go fishing with particular lures. If you're not a good deep cranker, you need to take a box of deep crankbaits and go mess with the deep crankbaits and don't take anything else. And I think that's, you know, I like to throw topwater, so I mess around with a lot of different topwater baits. And I know that Joe Rowland, he does some stuff to the bills and customizes some stuff. I heard he's going to do it, be at the Rapella booth later today doing the same thing. But I don't shave bills, and I don't really do a whole lot of things like that. I may add a little weight strip to them, or I may add an extra couple O-rings to the back of the topwater bait.
Interesting.
So it sits right in the water.
Yes.
Very cool.
But shaving stuff, or yeah. may put a little bit bigger hook on the back versus the front. Shaving things and modifying the particular body of a bait, I don't ever do that.
Don't forget, I want to make a little note to the viewers and the listeners, too. The modifying that you talk about, too, you're going to mess stuff up if you do that, too.
And
so
that's,
better.
And that's why, I mean, I've back in the day when we used to have co-anglers, which we don't have anymore, you know, at the end of the day, especially if you had a good relationship with that guy, you say, hey, let me look in your taco box. And I look at my guy's taco box, I'm like, oh, God, there's one right over there. Don't get too excited about it. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this topwater bait here? And it'd be a P70 original. I mean, it's like perfect condition or whatever. He goes, oh, I haven't thrown that thing in 5 years. I said, man, I'll buy it from you for $20. Okay, here you go. You can have it for $20. So I got a lot of baits like that. But then you'd see one, and he'd have the bill shaved off the bottom. And I'm like, oh, my God. What'd you do this for? He goes, well, Joe Rowland. I'm like, dude, you're not Joe Rowland. You just screwed up this perfect bait that you could have sold for $100 easy on eBay. Yep. Now it's not worth $3.
Hey, last selfish question about the Pop-R, the oversized Pop-R type bait. I need to know what that underhand roll cast, what's your setup? What's the tackle? What's the pound test? What's the rod length, rod action, reel?
Good question. Because you got to have a certain rod to get that accuracy.
It's very important. You need to use a short rod. I got a Powell 6-foot rod, custom made for
pistol
me.
Pistol grip?
It's not a pistol grip, but it does have a short handle on it.
Like okay. what, 9-inch, 8-inch? Yep. Where you
it's
at?
Probably 8-inch handle or smaller.
Gotcha.
It's a little 6-foot rod. It's a medium action. It's very tippy because that's what you need. You got to have a tippy rod to make those casts. A stiffer rod is going to go sailing on you. It's going to hit the water. You can't be accurate with it. So you're either roll it underhand and the rod loads up and you just, it's very simple. I throw a STX Abu Garcia reel, 6.3-1 or 6.2 is usually what I use. And you do more popping it or walking it on a slack line. You never want to twitch your rod on a straight line, because if you do, it's going to pull it out of the thing. So you can twitch it like this on a slack line, and it doesn't go anywhere. If you got too much slack reeled up, so there's no slack in your line, you pull it, it comes at you, and you're done away from the bush, and you're not going to get a bite. 15-pound test line.
Mono?
Always throw mono. I use, you know, high seas line. Back in the day, I used McCoy line. But you always use mono because it floats. Fluorocarbon's going to sink. Braided line you can't use because it gets hooked around the front hook too many times when you make a cast, and you make a good cast, and it's hooked on the hook, and then you got to reel in. So it's wasted. Mono, a 6-foot rod, tippy, medium action, and you're good to go.
Nice.
That's amazing stuff. Amazing top water all season. It's a great, great, a lot of great tips for Bass University TV. We want to thank you for being part of Bass University TV and hooking us up with all this great stuff that nobody can buy. It's not available on the market. But it's a lot of amazing stuff.